no
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday at RelicRadio.com. First story this week is from Gunsmoke. We'll hear their October 24th, 1952 episode titled The Mortgage. After that, it's Tales of the Texas Rangers and the Trigger Men, their story from July 29th, 1950.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
You know, Chester, a morning like this makes a man glad to be alive.
Oh, it's a fine one, all right, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
A little nippy, maybe, but just fine.
Indian summer hanging on and winter holding off. You know, Chester, this time of year, I wouldn't trade western Kansas for everything east of the Mississippi. Oh, good. Pedro's got a fire going.
I built the fire, Marshal Dillon.
Oh, good morning, Caleb.
I've been waiting in his jail office for a full 2 hours. What time do you start work, Marshal?
You know Caleb Andrews, don't you, Chester?
Oh, yes, indeed. How are you, Mr. Andrews?
Marshal, I have an order here from the U.S. District Court. I believe it's your job to serve such orders.
Yeah, it is. I don't get them often, though. Order of foreclosure and eviction on Ed Blake. Why are you doing this to Ed, Caleb?
The man borrowed money from me. He gave me a mortgage on his farm and household effects. He can't pay it. Why do you think I'm doing it?
It only came due 3 days ago. You sure didn't waste any time.
I'm not interested in your opinions, Marshal Dillon.
Yeah, the amount of the mortgage. $420. What do you need with $420? You own half of Ford County now.
Marshal, it's not your place.
You know as well as I do why Ed Blake can't pay this off. His horse rolled on him last spring and broke his leg. And his wife and kid nearly broke their backs trying to get a crop out.
I didn't come here to listen
to you. If you let this ride on through the winter, you'll get your money out of it. If you go ahead and foreclose now, you'll wipe him out.
Marshal, I already have foreclosed.
You'd break a man for $420 you don't even need, huh?
As I said, your opinions don't interest me. All I expect from you is to serve these papers.
All right, I'll serve them.
You'll notice they're to be served today.
I said I'd serve them. Now get out.
What?
This office belongs to the United States government, and as far as I know, that's one thing you got no mortgage on, so get out.
You may find I have some influence in Washington, Marshal Dillon.
Then see if you can get me a decent salary for this rotten job of mine.
It sure was a fine morning, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, it was. All right, Chester, let's saddle up.
This is one job I purely wish we didn't have to do, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
My... This sure is a nice farm. Ed and Martha have put in a lot of work here the last 4 years.
We don't have any choice, Chester.
Yes, sir, I know. It's a downright shame, though.
Hey, Marshal!
Oh, boy. Well, hi, Jimmy.
Look here what I got, Marshal.
Well, looks to me like a mighty dead coyote.
Sure, that's what it is. He's been killing my chickens, so last night I hid out behind the barn.
Yeah?
I got him with one shot, Mr. Dillon, and there wasn't even a full moon.
Well, that's fine, Jimmy.
Matt Dillon, how are you?
Good morning, Martha.
And Chester, too.
Miss Blake?
Well, I'm glad to see you. Get down, come on in.
Thank you.
Jimmy, now that you showed that thing to Mr. Dillon, take it away somewhere.
All right, Mom. He sure is a big one, ain't he, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, about the biggest I ever saw, Jimmy.
He's real proud of those chickens of his. He's done fine with them. Well, here I am, though, keeping you standing out here in the yard. Come on, let's go inside.
Well, we really can't stay, Martha.
Oh, nonsense. You don't get out here once in a coon's age.
Yeah, I know, but you
And you're just in time. Your favorite dish, Matt. I was about to take it out of the oven when you rode up.
Cornbread. Buttermilk cornbread, huh?
That's right. Ed's not here, but you will stay, won't you?
Well, Martha, I'd like to, but, well, we just can't, that's all. The thing is that, you say Ed's away?
Yes, he's in town. Matt, you're not yourself. What is it?
Well, I suppose I ought to talk to Ed about this, but maybe it'll be better if he hears it from you.
Here's what?
Martha, I got a court order here. It has to do with that mortgage of Caleb Andrews. It's an order of foreclosure and eviction and sale.
No. Oh, no.
Here it is.
We were so sure he'd extend it. He knows what happened, why we couldn't pay it. We were sure he'd extend it.
Well, he won't. I talked to him.
Matt, how long before we have to get out?
5 days.
So soon. You were right, Matt. It is better that Ed hears it from me. Coming on top of everything else, it'll... Well, I can't let it break him. I just can't let it break him.
Martha, if there's anything I can do you, you let me know, huh?
Matt, I don't blame you for this. I understand. Well, come on in now and have some cornbread with
us. Well, I couldn't. I'm sorry. Thank you anyway, Martha. But I just couldn't.
Matt, you've looked low all week.
Oh, it's just things in general, Kitty. Sometimes you get to wondering if it's all worth it or not.
The Blakes, huh? Chester was telling me.
Chester talks too much.
It's not your fault, Matt. Somebody had to serve the order.
Somebody has to be hangman, too.
Life's never all good, Matt. There's always a little bad in it.
Well, in my job, it's more than a little.
Try making your living sometime as a dance hall girl.
Yeah, I guess. But when you gotta go out and boot somebody like the Blakes off their land and out of their home, then you start wondering what's right and what's wrong, so...
Well, if you find out, Matt, let me know. I've always... Oh,
there you are, Marshal. I stopped by the jail.
Well, all right, Caleb. What's on your mind?
That Blake family, Marshal. They were supposed to vacate today. Well, they haven't done it. I rode by there a little while ago.
According to the court order, they got until sundown.
But they haven't made the slightest preparation to... Marshal, I believe I'd prefer to discuss our business elsewhere than in the presence of this, this...
Easy, Caleb.
Matt, I'll go.
Caleb, you're going to apologize to Miss Kitty right now.
No.
Apologize? If you think I'm going to apologize to this cheap little baggage who's in this...
Matt, you shouldn't have done that.
Finnegan, take him outside and throw some water on him.
Yes, sir, Marshal.
Why not, Kitty? He had it coming to him.
He'll do everything he can to hurt you now. He'll take it out on the Blakes, too.
Yeah, maybe. Look, Kitty, I just got an idea. I'll see you later.
All right, Matt.
Thank you.
But, Matt, the mere fact a man runs a bank doesn't always mean he's got a free hand in everything he does. A bank has stockholders, a board of directors. I've got to listen to them.
I think they'd approve the loan, Clem.
Another thing, Caleb Andrews is the biggest account I've got. If I crossed him by taking this loan you suggest, Matt, he'd break me.
I see. All right, Clem, forget it.
Matt, I realize I'm under obligation to you. You saved my life that time the James brothers held me up. Saved the bank, too, in fact, but...
That was part of my job, Clem. There's no obligation. I was just asking you as a friend to help out another friend.
Matt, I'd like to do it, but I just can't. Don't you see?
Yeah, sure, Clem. I see. Just forget it.
Gotta think of my wife and the two girls.
Yeah, of course you have.
It's not that I don't want to help.
I understand, Clem. I really do. Forget it.
There. That ought to hold it a while. That fire feels kind of good, Mr. Dillon. It's getting chillish out tonight.
Yeah, I guess we better have Pedro lay in some more wood.
Yes, sir. When winter sets in, it always makes you feel good to know you got a warm place to hole up. Be mighty rough not to have a... Not to...
Yeah, I was thinking of the same thing, Chester.
You suppose they... vacated this afternoon?
I don't know. We'll ride out there in the morning and find out.
Sure is a shame. It's just too bad that...
Come in.
Can we bother you, Matt?
Ed! Oh, well, come in. Come in, Martha. Well, hiya, Jimmy. Come on up to the stove, folks. Come on.
Matt, the fact is that we kind of like to impose on you for tonight. We haven't got any place to go, no money. Wondered if we could sleep in the jail tonight.
Oh, sure, Ed. Chester, would you get a fire going back there?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
And dig up some blankets out of the storeroom, huh?
Yes, sir. Hey, want to come help me, Jimmy? Jimmy?
Now, you go along with Chester now, boy. Go on.
All right. He doesn't understand all this, Matt.
Ed, we may as well get your stuff out of the wagon, I guess.
Well, there ain't any wagon, Matt. We walked into town.
6 miles? With that leg?
I know, but that wagon, the horses, all the household goods, they're all covered by that mortgage. We didn't take anything. Except the clothes on our backs.
Oh, so help me, Ed. So help me if I could...
It's all right, Matt. We know how you feel. But after all, we started with nothing before. We can do it again.
But there's no reason you should have to.
We do have to, though. And that's that. Ed and I can accept it. We're... not bitter any longer. Jimmy can't understand. He's been carrying on pretty bad, but he's just a boy. And in time, he'll be able
Mr.
to...
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
It's Jimmy. He grabbed a rifle from off the rack and took out the back way. I couldn't stop him.
But where on earth's he going?
I think I know where he's going. And heaven help Caleb Andrews if we don't catch him.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, that widely traveled man of music, Mr. Vaughn Monroe, will land in Pottstown, Pennsylvania this Saturday night. The Moon Maids, the Moon Men, and the Monroe Ensemble will be on hand to enliven the session. Remember, tomorrow night and every Saturday evening, it's Vaughn Monroe and his musical caravan on most of these same CBS radio stations. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
That's Mother's house there on the corner. Looks dark, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he may not be home. Sure hope he isn't.
No sign of the boy around. Reckon he broke in the house, Mr. Dillon?
Maybe. Anyhow, it's 10-1. This is where he headed for. His mother said he was real upset about it, and it's just like a kid to... Chester?
Hmm?
There's somebody back of that tree up there on the left.
Mm. Yeah. Think it's him?
I don't know. Just keep on walking. Yeah, it's him, all right. I can see the moonlight on the rifle barrel.
Will we try to rush him, Mr. Dillon?
Not unless you're thinking of suicide. I'm going to talk to him, Chester. Jimmy? It's me, Matt Dillon.
Go away, Mr. Dillon. Better go away now. Don't bother me.
I can't do that, Jimmy. You're a friend of mine, and I figure you're waiting here to do something that you'd be sorry for, and I can't let you do that.
Nothing you can do about it, Mr. Dillon. I got a gun here, and I'm going to kill him. You go away now and leave me alone.
Jimmy, I know how you feel. I don't like Caleb either, but killing him's no answer. You folks feel bad enough already. Think how it would hurt him if you did.
Stop, Mr. Dillon. Now stay where you are. Don't come any closer.
I have to, Jimmy. It's my job. So if you're going through with this, I guess you'll have to kill me first.
No, no, Mr. Dillon. Now stay back.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't have a choice. But you do.
No. I couldn't shoot you, Mr. Dillon. You know that.
Sure. I knew you couldn't.
I kept waking up nights and hear Mom crying. Dad would sit up all night without the lamp lit, no fire, not say anything, just sitting.
Easy now, Jimmy.
Why is he doing it to us, Mr. Dillon?
Jimmy, listen to me. Will you do something for a friend?
Yeah. If you say so.
All right. Then take that rifle back to the jail and put it in the rack. And go to bed. Now, you promise?
Yeah. I promise, Mr. Dillon. I'm sorry. I'll do like you say.
You're all right, Jimmy. Good night, son.
I could have told you Clem Bates wouldn't do anything, Matt. He wouldn't dare. He'd be scared Caleb would take his money out of the bank.
Yeah, that's about what he said. I don't know, Kitty. I've done everything I could possibly think of.
Oh, the worst of it is everybody in town's just as scared of Caleb as Clem is. I doubt if they'll even have the nerve to bid against him at the sale.
Yeah, I know. He'll probably get the place at not much more than the amount of the mortgage.
$420. Matt, I've seen more than that change hands across a poker table here in one deal. You think that's all it takes?
I beg your pardon, Miss Kitty.
Oh, of course, Jack.
I'm not usually one to eavesdrop on people, but I have been listening to you, too.
Jack, have you met Marshall Dillon?
No, I haven't had the pleasure. The reason I butted in, Miss Kitty, I heard you talking about these people losing their home. I don't know this fellow Blake. He's never done any business over my table and probably never will.
No, I don't think he's ever been in here.
And I don't know if this will make sense. But the thing is, I left home when I was 10 years old, and I've been drifting ever since. When I see somebody like this Blake that sticks it out and works and fights and gets a raw deal. Well, what I'm getting at, here's $50 if that'll help money.
Oh, Jack.
Well, this is awful decent of you, Jack.
Matt, I said a while ago that nearly everyone in town was afraid of Caleb.
Yeah.
Well, there's some who aren't. Like Jack here and me and the rest of the dealers and the gamblers and the girls and the bartenders.
That's right, Miss Kitty.
Because we're drifters. We got nothing to lose. Matt, I'll raise $420 right here in the Texas Trail.
By heaven, Kitty, I think you could.
Well, I can't do as well as Jack, but... here's 20 from me. Boys! Everybody! Now listen to me for a minute.
something to say.
He's sure taking his time getting here, Chester.
Well, I told him what you said, Mr. Dillon.
Well, that ought to bring him on the run, if anything, Will. Anytime Caleb figures he's about to lose a dollar or two, it's hitting him where it hurts.
The Blake's turned in for the night?
Yeah, I guess so. It's been quiet back there for the last few.
Marshal, what's this all about?
Well, shut the door, Caleb. We're trying to keep it warm in here.
Would you mind telling me why I've been called over here at this time of night?
Yeah, sure. Here's $420. The Blakes want to pay off the mortgage.
They do they?
The court costs up to now probably run about $10. I'll pay that myself.
That's mighty generous of you. Well, good night, Marshal.
Is it a deal, then?
I am not the least bit interested in having that mortgage paid off, Marshal Dillon. The Blake farm is worth about $2,000 now, and in 5 years it'll be worth three times that much. Land's going up in Ford County. That's why I'm grabbing every piece I can get. So I don't want the money. I want the farm. And when it's put up for sale, I'll get it at my own price. The foreclosure still goes.
I see.
Good night, gentlemen.
Well, I guess that's that, Mr. Dillon.
I don't know why I even thought he'd take the money. The Blakes won't get a cent out of the sale. He'll scare everybody off and bid it in a few dollars over the amount of the mortgage, and nobody in town will even try to...
Try to what, Mr. Dillon?
Chester, I'm going over and wake up Clem Bates. I got an idea, and if it works, we'll hold that sale at noon tomorrow.
That's pretty short notice to find an auctioneer.
I don't need an auctioneer, Chester. This one I'm going to run myself. You know what we're here for. This is a foreclosure sale of the property and household effects of Edward and Martha Blake, ordered by the court at the request of that fine-spirited, good-hearted public benefactor and friend and neighbor of us all, Caleb Andrews.
Marshal Dillon, I refuse to tolerate this.
Caleb, I think we better get one thing straight right now. The law tells me I got to conduct this sale, but the law doesn't tell me what I got to say while I'm conducting it.
Get on with it. Get on with the sale.
All right. Now, the first item I'm offering is a breadboard. Ms. Blake tells me she's used this for nearly 10 years. That's a lot of loaves of bread. A lot of years. As you can see, it's pretty badly battered up. I doubt if it'd be worth much to anybody unless they were used to it. Suppose we started at 50 cents. Is there anybody here low enough to bid 50 cents for Mrs. Blake's breadboard? How about you, Caleb?
I'm not interested in the item. Get on with the sale.
Anybody else? No? All right, then. The second item. It's a crib. Now, you'll notice it's handmade. Rough construction. Never been painted. And it's been well used. Ed built it himself 12 years ago, just before Jimmy was born. There are teeth marks all over the slats here, but that doesn't really hurt anything.
Marshal Dillon, may I suggest you lump the household effects together and offer them as one bulk item?
I'm sorry, Caleb. I'd rather offer them one at a time.
Yes.
Unless, of course, you'd care to waive all claim to the household effects and withdraw them from the order of foreclosure.
I waive the claim. The household goods are withdrawn. Now get on to the house and land.
So ordered. Now, the item offered is 160 acres of tillable land, a four-room house, and a barn. I won't read through the description. You all know the property. It's a good farm. The amount of the mortgage is $420. Held by Caleb Andrews. All right, the bidding's open. What am I offered?
$450.
I have $450 from Cable Andrews. Do I hear another bid? Oh, the farm's worth $2,000. You're going to let him have it for $450? How about another bidder?
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Well, I've been thinking some lately of getting me a little place like this and settling down. I'll bid $1,000.
I have $1,000. Do I hear another bid?
It's a trick. He doesn't want this place.
$1,000. Going once?
$1,200.
Caleb Andrews bids $1,200. What do you say, Chester?
Well, sir, I think I kind of like this farm. $1,500.
This is ridiculous.
The bid is $1,500. Going once. Going twice.
$1,600.
$1,600 from Mr. Andrews. Chester?
$8,420.
He never had that much money in his whole life.
Do I hear another bid? Oh, what do you say, Caleb?
Do you think I'm a fool?
Going once, going twice, sold to Chester Proudfoot for $8,420. The buyer will come forward and complete the sale.
Don't you worry none about me, Mr. Andrews. I got it right here. There's $8,000 in $500 bills, and here is the $420.
Where did you ever get that much in cash?
Well, I save my pay, Mr. Andrews, and of course, I drink just mostly beer. It adds up after a while.
Caleb, I guess $420 of this is yours. And that takes care of the mortgage. Well, Ed, looks like you made a pretty fair profit on the place.
Yeah, a lot better than I expected.
Here's your money.
Thank you, Matt. But I tell you, I'd still rather have the farm than the money.
Well, now, I've been sort of thinking it over, Mr. Blake. Maybe I kind of lost my head. But when you come right down to it, I don't know what I'd ever do with a farm. So if you'd like to buy it, I'll take a $420 loss and sell it back to you for $8,000 cash.
Done. Here's your money.
This is unheard of. They can't do it, Marshal.
Well, as far as I know, there's no law against a man selling his own property.
Now, the way I see it, Mr. Andrews, is right this minute you're a trespasser on my property. Come on, let's go.
Let go. Hey, Gracie, who do you think you're landing?
Chester, you better get that $8,000 back to the bank. Clem Bates is probably worrying himself into a breakdown for fear somebody will find out that he let us have it.
All right, Mr. Dillon, I'll see you in town later.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, I don't know how we can ever thank you for what you've done.
Not me, Martha. Thank the bunch that work at the Texas Trail. You know, they're bums and drifters, most of them. But when Kitty told them the story, they really came through.
We'll pay it back, Matt, every cent of it. And, well, that girl, Kitty, I guess I've said some hard things about her in the past, but... Matt, will you ask her to come out to dinner some afternoon?
What?
I'd like to thank her myself.
Sure, Martha. I'll ask her. And I think she'll appreciate that more than you'll ever know.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Paula Winslow, and Richard Beals, with Joe Duval, Lawrence Dobkin, and Jim Nusser. Parley Bear is Chester and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Here's a suggestion for Saturday listening. Fun for All, starring Bill Cullen and Arlene Francis, and John Reed King's great show, Give and Take. Hear them tomorrow on CBS Radio. Clancy Cassell speaking. And remember, you'll find Western adventure and music with Gene Autry Saturday evenings on the CBS Radio Network. Wheaties presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, The Trigger Men.
At 9 o'clock on the evening of May 27, 1947, Jasper Leach, operator of an independent service station in Ada, Oklahoma, was preparing to shut down for the night. Suddenly, two men in a green convertible pulled into the service island of his station.
Close for the night, fellas. Pumps are all locked.
We gotta get some gas.
All night place on the highway south, mister. Big station, you're heading that way.
I don't like big stations. We're gassing up right here. I got a tire you can fix.
Now look, I told you I'm close for the night.
Hey, stop the chatter, will you?
You heard him, Hick. Now get moving, or I'll put a slug in you.
All right, mister. I ain't arguing with a gun.
Hey, get that pump going. Make him fill a couple extra 5-gallon cans.
All right, Joe. Stop playing the party and get that flat spare out if you're so hot for action.
Okay, but let's shake it up,
eh? Well, come on, Hayseed. Get with the pump.
Keys are in the office.
Well, let's get them. And while we're in here, you might as well open the safe.
I don't know the combination.
Yeah? Oh! I said open it, you hick.
All right, mister, I'll open it. But you ain't getting away with this. Not by a dang sight.
We'll talk that over later. Just you and me, Hick. Just you and me.
KTX-8 all units. KTX-8 all units. Oklahoma State Police advised that about 9 p.m. of 527, gas station attendant in Ada, Oklahoma, was robbed and beaten to death with tire iron. Subjects tentatively identified as number one, Joe Gordon, average size, eyes blue, hair blonde, complexion fair. Number two, Tiny Gordon, 6'3", peculiar walk, pigeon-toed, same coloring as brother. Subjects now believed to be in Texas en route to Mexican border. Wanted six states and FBI for murder, bank robbery, narcotics, other charges. Use caution, these men are dangerous. KDXA Austin.
Tales of the Texas Rangers will continue in just a moment.
Get up and get at 'em with Wheaties. Yup, for folks up and doing, for folks going places, breakfast of champions. Sure, begin a better breakfast with Wheaties tomorrow and see if you don't feel the difference all morning long. Here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. You got it? There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Energy? You bet. Whole wheat energy. Vitamins and minerals? You bet. And protein, too. That's why Wheaties at 7 can make a difference at 11. There's energy in them thar flakes. You try them. Tomorrow morning, make yours Wheaties. Pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and eat happy. Yes, and work happy. Tomorrow, see for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you.
There were no further signs of the Gordon brothers on the night of May 27th,
But on the morning of the 28th, Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers received a report that looked like a lead and immediately sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
You send for me, Captain?
Yeah, Jace. I want you to get right over to the General Hospital in Palo Pinto County. Been a double shooting. Deputy Sheriff and his son.
Where'd it happen?
Near Mineral Wells, but check the hospital first. Shooting took place during the night. Rancher found the men this morning.
Mineral Wells, that's on the road south from Ada, Oklahoma. You think it might have been the Gordon brothers?
It smells like them. They were headed south, according to all previous reports. I figure they're making their run for the border, and they'll kill anybody who tries to stop them.
Sure looks that way.
The deputy never saw who gunned him, Jace. If he can talk, get all the information you can. And if it looks like the Gordons, stay with it all the way. We don't want them to get across the border.
I understand.
Judging by their past movements, they steal cars and dump them for new ones at regular intervals before they get too hot. So don't pin too much on any car descriptions.
I won't. I'll see you later.
Oh, Jace.
Yeah?
You get anything hot, report it by phone. If I have anything for you, I'll have the radio dispatcher tell you to call in. The men we're after might have a short wave set.
Right, Captain.
One thing more, Jace. This department hasn't lost a man in a long time. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the one to spoil the record. I checked my car out and headed for Palo Pinto County. I reached the hospital at 9:45 a.m. and saw the doctor in charge.
He'll pull through, I think, but his condition is critical. Shot 3 times through the back. One of the bullets is lodging his spine.
Which room's he in?
I'll show you.
Deputy's son hurt bad, too?
Too bad, Ranger. Dead on arrival.
He know it?
Yep, he knows. Be better if you could wait.
I wish I could. I can't.
I understand. He's in here.
The deputy was lying on his stomach, a dazed look on his face like he was remembering something over and over, but still couldn't believe it. I knelt on the floor beside him so he could see me while he was telling me what happened.
You see, my boy built himself one of them hot rod cars out of an old chassis and spare parts. You know youngsters.
Yeah.
I broke down on him last night. Fooled with it and couldn't get it to start. Called up home about midnight. Tell me and his ma why I was out so late.
Sure.
I drove out in my car to meet him where he called from, up at Salesville. We both fooled around with his car some, but wasn't fixing to go at all.
Here. You sip a little water through this glass straw. Better?
Thank you.
You couldn't get the car started.
So finally I told the kid to come on home. And we'd get it taken care of today.
Hmm.
Reckon that don't matter none now.
What happened on the way home?
We passed the carpet place. Big place. It raises silkworms.
Here. Let me fix that pillow for you, then.
Thank you. Worms feed off the leaves of the mulberry trees. We was passing the grove, Carver's mulberries. I spot a fire, little campfire, like deep in the grove, almost out of sight.
I see.
Thought I better stop and have a look. The kid, he wanted to get out of the car with me. I don't know why I let him, but I had no way of knowing.
Now, of course, you couldn't know.
We walked in. I guess they heard us coming. One of them kicked at the fire. I saw his shadow. That's all. I yelled at him to stand where there was, and they started blasting.
Go on.
I turned, pushed the kid down. Something hit me in the back. I went out. When I came to, my kid was lying there. Just a couple of feet from me. 15 years old.
All right. Don't try to talk anymore.
Get him for me, Ranger. Please get him. Me and my kid.
left the hospital and headed for the Carvath Ranch outside Mineral Wells. Big Jim Carvath, the owner of the place, took me into the mulberry grove where the deputy and his boy had been gunned.
Well, this is the spot. Sheriff's combed it over pretty complete, though.
Hmm. Had their fire right over here.
What are you digging out of them ashes?
Fire wasn't burning long. Started it with a road map and an envelope. A little corner of the envelope not quite burned. I can just make out the stamp.
Huh?
It's Mexican. Maybe our lab can make out the postmark.
Out of that charred hunk?
Yeah. If I can slide it into this fresh envelope without breaking it up too much.
You fellas sure can figure a lot from a little, I reckon.
Sometimes. When they left, they went through there toward the road.
How do you know that?
Here's the mark where the fire was kicked. Steps from it move that way.
It might have been the sheriff and his men.
Not in low-heel eastern boots. See the impressions?
Oh.
One set, same as yours or mine, except for the difference in boots.
Huh.
The other set scuffs in at the toes. Man who made those is pigeon-toed.
You sound like you could draw a picture of them.
I could now. Let's see where these prints lead. They led to the road, or almost to the road. Just at the edge of the grove were tire markings where a car had been backed into the mulberries to screen it from sight.
Yep, this is it, all right. Can see where it scraped the branches.
Did more than scrape them. And this one's been torn off. The part that got torn off isn't on the ground. Low branch, too.
Oh, that means something?
From the tire marks and the height of the branch, it means the baggage compartment of the car was open and then closed down on the end of the branch. See, it snapped off when the car moved.
You sound like that's worth knowing.
It might be worth plenty. The highway patrol turns up an abandoned car with a piece of mulberry branch caught on it. I drove back to headquarters and turned the charred envelope over to the lab. Then I went in and reported to Captain Stinson.
Sounds like the Gordon brothers, all right.
I'd bet on it. And if they're in the habit of ditching their cars, we better check on all the stolen and abandoned. We find the car, we'll know which way they're headed.
I'll send out a bulletin on it. What did Lab say about the envelope?
Burned pretty bad, Captain, but they think they can restore it. Take time, though.
Well, if they can bring out that Mexican postmark, it might tell us where the Gordons plan to cross the border.
That's what I was thinking. They won't go through a regular border station. It'll be an illegal crossing. And they'll probably have a hideaway arranged on the other side.
Yeah, probably other members of the Crawford gang.
I figure they'll try to make it before tomorrow morning. They'll be making their big run tonight.
Well, head south, Jace, toward the border. We'll relay all information to you as it comes up.
I'd better get charcoal out of the barn and hitch up my horse trailer.
That's a good idea. Wherever they try to cross, it's a cinch it won't be good territory for a car.
The border stations are covered, though, aren't they, in case they do try a legal crossing?
Now, their mugs are hanging in every customs house from Brownsville to El Paso. FBI has given them extra cover, and the Mexican police are helping, too.
I better get going, then. So long, Captain.
So long, Jace, and good luck.
I loaded charcoal into the horse trailer and headed south, aiming for the center of the border near Valverde County so I could change my direction fast either way. I kept a lead foot on the gas pedal. Towards sundown, I was just outside El Dorado when the radio dispatcher came through telling me to call headquarters. I got Captain Stinson on long distance.
That mulberry branch is paying off, Jace. Abandoned car with a piece of it caught in the trunk has just been found at Fort Stockton, Pecos County.
How long ago?
Less than 15 minutes. And the motor was still warm. Highway patrol is throwing up roadblocks at all points, south and west. They can't be far out of Stockton.
Must be planning to try a border crossing in Presidio or Brewster County, then. Any report on that burned envelope?
Still working on it, Jace. You better head for Fort Stockton. If they do get past our block, they're within 90 miles of the border.
I'll do my best, Captain. So long.
Well, it's another baseball summer with ball fans all over the country watching their favorites and baseball champions all over the major leagues eating their Wheaties. Yup, and do they eat their Wheaties? The Philadelphia Phillies, Ashburn and Ennis. The Cleveland Indians, Lemon and Boudreaux. Stan Musial of the St. Louis Cards. George Kell of the Detroit Tigers. Pee Wee Reese of the Dodgers. They're all getting their Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
And you know, so are a lot of other smart people. Folks who want high-stepping energy to stride through their mornings high, wide, and handsome. They're getting Wheaties, too. Are you? Well, listen. You may not play ball for a living, but you can use Wheaties energy. You can use Wheaties vitamins, minerals, and proteins. You can use Breakfast of Champions, too. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. A whole golden kernel rolled out flat and toasted. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can do so much and help send you through the morning on high. That's why Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You have some. Wheaties, the crisp way to get your whole wheat. Tomorrow morning, make yours milk and fruit and Wheaties. Breakfast of champions. See for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
I started for the roadblock area in Pecos County, but I never got there. I was still 50 miles away when headquarters radioed me to contact them by phone. Had a feeling the news wasn't going to be good, and it wasn't.
We can forget about Pecos County, Jace. The Gordons broke through our roadblock.
Where?
Back road near Hovey. They turned a Tommy gun on the highway patrol and a sheriff's car.
Kill anybody?
Two, and two more badly wounded. The men were just found when they didn't answer a radio call. Happened 2 hours ago.
Then the Gordons could be at the border by now.
The wildest part of it, Jace. And you'll have to guess what... Just a second.
Morrison? What is the first order? Morrison? Okay, thanks.
Here it is, Jace. Lab report on the burned envelope.
Where was it mailed from?
Coquillas. Right across the Rio Grande from the Santiago Mountains. That country's murder.
Worse for them than for us. River swollen by spring rains. They'll need a boat to cross.
County sheriff can beat through the mountains with posses. 10 miles each side.
I'll get as close as I can by car, and then Charcoal and I'll ride in. The posse will corner them, we'll have them.
You're the closest ranger unit, Jace. But those men are dangerous. You want to wait for some help?
No time for waiting. Now's the time for getting them. You'll hear from me. South of Brewster County, the world comes to an end. I drove as far as I could and met one wing of the sheriff's posse where Maravillas Creek runs into the Rio Grande. Any sign of them, Sheriff?
Nope. Got men working in from the other side of the mountains, though.
I'll get my horse and ride in with you ways. Then we can split and fan out.
Good. Mighty fine horse, Ranger.
The best. Come on, Charco. Which of your men knows this section best?
Jaime Sanchez, I reckon.
I'd like him to ride with me when we split.
Oh, he'd be proud to. Sanchez!
Hey! You want me for something, Sheriff?
Ranger wants you to ride with him.
That's good with me.
Thanks, Sanchez. You got any signal arranged with the rest of your posse?
3 shots. 2 seconds between each one.
Good. Well, let's ride.
All right, men. Mount up.
Well, we'll follow the river, and then you can drop off in pairs and head in toward the peak. The sheriff will pair you off. If you hit ground too rough for your horses, tie them off and move through on foot.
All got that?
Yeah. All right, let's move.
Come on, get up.
Along the river, closing the circle and hoping that Joe and Tiny Gordon were inside of it. The country got rougher and no horse could have taken it without the light of the moon. Posse paired off and thinned out. Finally, the sheriff and his last deputy turned off. Sanchez and I went on alone. How far are we from Boquilla, Sanchez?
About 5 miles, senor, and it will be right across the Rio.
We better turn toward the peak, then.
We can't go in very far in the horses. Maybe we should leave them right here. Easier to find again.
You're probably right. Whoa, boy.
Oh.
Tie them off over here.
See? There are some cabins up here in the mountains, but the men we are after wouldn't know about them.
What kind of cabins?
Old hunters' cabins from long ago when there was good hunting. But most of the game is gone. Nobody lives in them anymore.
No, but the Gordons might know about them anyhow.
You said they do not know this country.
Yeah, they could have been told. They're meeting somebody in Mexico. Some of their gang might have come through here before. That's why they picked this spot.
They're in such a hurry, though, I don't think they would stop.
Yeah, they would if the big boy got tired.
The big boy?
Yeah, Tiny Gordon. He's pigeon-toed. Something wrong with his feet. He's big and heavy and carrying a lot of weight. He's going to slow down in this country.
I think you're right, Ranger Pearson. He ain't got good feet. He's slowed down plenty in here.
The cabins in the territory we're covering?
See, two of them.
Now, let's take a look.
See, the first one is right up this way to the left, about 2 miles in.
Doesn't seem to be anybody in there.
No. Maybe they just wait in there.
Soon find out. Stay clear of the doorway and keep your gun ready while I go in.
See, but you better have your guns ready, too.
Don't worry. I got them. Watch it. Nobody here. Come in. Lamp here. I'll light it.
Something wrong with the lamp, senor?
No. But I don't think I'll light it after all. Use your flashlight instead.
See? There.
Feel the glass. The lamp chimney.
It's warm, senor.
Used less than half an hour ago. Could any of the posse have reached here before us?
I don't see how. They all turn in further back.
I mean the group working in from the other side.
No, they came all the way from Hot Springs, further than where we start. Mm. That's where the sheriff's deputy went to get them.
Flash your light around a little.
See?
Wait. Wait, turn on that chair again.
See?
Look. Dust wiped off it. Somebody sitting there not long ago. A scraped spot on the floor. Sat with his legs straight out. The scraping was done by his heels.
See, you have a good eye.
I think I'll sit down there and stretch my legs. My heels reach those marks?
No, not quite so far, but why do you do that?
Because I'm 6 feet tall. The man that sat in that chair is taller. Tiny Gordon is 6'3". Come on. Look around, see which way they headed.
Gee. I think this way, Ranger Pearson.
Why? What'd you find?
Somebody step on this dead log, take off a piece of the bark.
Yeah. And prints there, too. Here, flash your light.
See, here.
Two sets. One of them with the toes turning in. And throw the light that way.
See, that bush.
First one through here held the branch back for the other to pass. Knocked off a few berries. Crushed them on the ground.
It's still wet from the juice.
We got direction now. Let's move. You better put that light off.
They're headed for the Rio, all right. Shouldn't we fire the gun now, the signal for the posse?
No, we're too close. Gordons might hear it, too. Probably think they're safe in here. They don't know we've got a postmark. Better chance of getting them cold if they don't know.
See. You think they're going to fight if we catch them?
With murder charges in a couple of states, they got nothing to lose. They'll fight plenty. They left a trail all the way, easy to follow even by moonlight. Got fresher as we moved along and saw more and more spots where Tiny Gordon had stopped to rest, and the pace spots where Joe Gordon had moved around restlessly waiting for him. It wasn't long before we could hear the lapping of the Rio Grande as the foothills dipped down toward it. And then we heard them, moving and talking in the reeds at the edge of the river.
All right, take it easy, man.
How do you know? How do you know they got our letter? Expected us last night.
Let's try again. You know we ain't moving on a time schedule.
Suppose they don't come. It'll be late in a couple of hours.
So we'll go back to that cabin and hold up again until tomorrow night. Besides, who's going to see us here?
Maybe an Indian or something. I don't know who's liable to be tramping around. What are you, Daniel Boone or something?
That dryer.
Don't you tell me to dry up, you little punk.
That tiny.
We figured that right. They're expecting a pickup from the Mexican side.
Gee, good thing the boat did not come
here. Those
lucky you could carry a 45. You tried to carry a Tommy gun away. You were flopping around in there. You'd have killed yourself and me, too.
I might kill you someday, Joe, shooting your mouth off.
Ron, come on, try it. I'll blow your brain.
Why, you want to punch in the jaw, Joe?
Try it.
Well, they got 45s. But so have we, see? Let's move in and take them. We slipped down to the edge of the reeds. I tapped Sanchez to move off about 30 yards so they'd have to come between us if they made a break away from the river. We couldn't see them in the reeds, but they couldn't see us either. Sanchez reached his position, and then I straightened up.
Tiny!
Hey,
Joe!
Who's that? Get up, Tiny!
I'm a Texas Ranger. There's a posse of 20 men in the hills. You're surrounded. Will you come out? That won't do you any good.
This way, Tiny!
Open up, Sanchez!
Don't get through here!
That's a posse signal, Tiny. They'll all be heading this way.
You won't be here to meet them!
What's the matter, Tiny? Your gun empty?
Why is it coming?
Hey, how'd you fellas ever kill anybody? You don't even come close.
Where are you hicks? I'll kill all of you stinking hicks.
I'm over here,
Signal. Oh, yeah?
The rest of the posse will be here soon. It'll be daylight. We'll starve you out or burn you out. You're hogtied. You better give up while you can.
I ain't giving up. I'll take a lot of your hits with me. Come on, Joe.
Hey, will you? Push him this way, son.
Joe! 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 You dirty!
You had your chance, Tiny.
You dirty...
All right, Sanchez.
You got it, senor.
Guess this job is almost finished.
Almost finished? They look like they finished good.
Yeah, I mean the rest of the Crawford gang from across the river. A nice surprise for them if they come over in their boat. Posse will be here soon, and we may be able to take them by surprise.
Easier than these two, senor. You know, I don't think they like us very much.
I saw what they did to a deputy sheriff and his kid. I didn't like the Gordon brothers very much either.
Two hours later, other members of the Crawford gang were surprised and captured without resistance when they crossed the Rio Grande to keep their rendezvous with the Gordon brothers. They were turned over to federal authorities to stand trial for their crimes.
Well, partner, whether you're riding the Texas prairie or smelting steel in Pittsburgh, first you need your Wheaties. Yep, breakfast of champions for folks with big things to do. It's a brighter morning and a better job when you begin a good breakfast with Wheaties. Here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Whole wheat vitamins and minerals, protein too. Whole wheat energy to help you stride through the morning high, wide, and handsome. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You try them. Golden flakes, crisp flakes, Wheaties flakes. Have some tomorrow with milk and fruit, and see yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production Saddle Trim. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Tom McKee, Tom Holland, Jack Crucian, Byron Kane, and Jay Novello. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keith. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen Tuesday night to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
that's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Gunsmoke, Tales of the Texas Rangers, past episodes of this show and all the others at RelicRadio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, give that button a click. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.